Here at the Corn Utilization and Technology Conference, I'm speaking with Dr. Dennis Bayrock with Phibro. And first of all, tell me what you do with the company.
I'm the Global R&D Director for Product Development for Phibro, a microbiologist for well over 16 years, involved in the industry. I've had graduate students, I've had active research programs, and now I'm situated in St. Paul with our R&D lab, helping Phibro and our clients achieve better ethanol yields.
Well, let's talk about that a minute. You were one of our panelists here at the conference. What's the subject that you were here to address?
Subject I was here to address was to raise awareness that other than processing conditions, that corn is essentially in the fermentation process is a live process. And what essentially could be made in the corn for toxins or for bacteria or yeast can transfer into the fermenter and in the ethanol plant, robbing you of any type of yield that you potentially have. So it carries on with the corn, shall we say, using colloquialism.
Well, what are some of the things that you have found that you are bringing to people's attention here? I mean, what is it that you can look at or look to make sure that you do have, you are getting everything you should be out of your feedstock?
One of the things that still remains a bit of a mystery to the industry is what effects do specific mycotoxins that can be made on corn, how does that affect the yeast during fermentation? And what are the specific amounts in a dry grind versus a wet mill for processing conditions? There is a plethora of academic information, and I'm academic as well, on toxins and yeast. But in the context of an ethanol fermentation in a plant and how that affects the bottom line of the ethanol plant, the mycotoxin question is still unanswered, in my opinion.
Now, are you doing research on this, or is somebody doing research on this?
There's probably a number of researchers that are far more academically inclined on the toxins themselves. But as far as the application and how they actually affect the fermentation, I think Phibro is emerging not just in the toxins, but toxins as a whole, with bacterial toxins, with bacteria, with yeasts, wild molds. So we are examining all biological effects and contaminants, and mycotoxins is one subset of that we're taking a look at for the ethanol producer.
So what are you able to tell them in a session like this so that, because I think the goal here is to come away from this conference with new ideas to take back to other companies, to their companies for that matter. What's the takeaway for them, the main takeaway?
The takeaway from them is that mycotoxins still pose a real threat to yeast fermentations. Predicting when that may happen, depending on corn crop and variation of seasons, is still a challenge. Trying to predict that when that may occur in the fermentation is still a benchmark that's still difficult to achieve. But when it does happen, it does affect the yeast. So trying to demystify the or predict the incidence of this is still a very great challenge.
Well, I'll ask one more question that may show how little I know about this subject, but is for an ethanol plant, is this something that they can, before they get it into the process, is this something they can test for, measure for, maybe prevent a problem from happening?
There are screening tools for toxins, and there are companies that do promote toxin screening tests, ELISAs, and other methods as well. Part of the difficulty is, again, storage within the plant, how much they turn over within the silos. There are a multitude of variables that complex this problem more than a simple answer. But the short answer is most ethanol plants do in some form screen for mycotoxins. Now, whether that particular load and whether the sheer volume of corn coming in is screened on a truck-by-truck basis like that is a challenge, not just for mycotoxins but also for bacterial loads as well. So any sort of toxins entering in the plant, since it is a biological and a part of the food chain for the ethanol plant, anything that impacts that is a concern, as you would have with your normal health.
I think that's an interesting way to sort of compare that to, as a food chain.
Yes.
You know, we may not think of it that way. Let's just say that a plant does find that they've got a storage facility that has maybe, for whatever reason, got some measurable level.
Yes.
That would create a problem.
Yes.
Can they do something about that?
Unfortunately, most of the mycotoxins are heat stable. So in other words, as soon as you start processing that, you get rid of the organism possibly, but the waste or the secondary metabolic byproducts or the waste products of those organisms live on. So in other words, as soon as you process the corn, the dilemma is as soon as you have it, you have to live with it, or the better solution is if you can possibly rotate out the corn or blend it in at a very, very small rate with clean corn, that's probably the best way to minimize the poisoning effect of this in the plant, basically.
So it maybe behooves the plants to get out on the front end of this and make sure that they are testing, maybe setting up and taking care of their storage facilities in a better manner in order to avoid having the problem to start with.
I think the plants, the ones that I have seen, and that they've been quite a few, have done an excellent job on monitoring the trucks coming into the plant. And certainly, I do believe that the plants do monitor their silos, but I'm not exactly sure on how often that occurs, or how regularly that occurs, or even if there is an SOP for that to this effect. And that goes not only for mycotoxins, but for anything else coming in on the corn as well. So I think it would behoove the industry to take a look at the storage facility, see how quickly it's rotated through, and try to see what preventatives and SOPs they can actually do.
Great. Now, this presentation, I think, really ties into, because so much of what we've been talking about here seems to focus around energy and ethanol as some of the new uses that have a lot of the most potential. We didn't really talk as much about what Fibro is doing in this area, but you might want to mention when it comes to ethanol production, what is it that Fibro offers to the market right now?
Lots of different things. Primary of which is a flagship product called Lactrol. It is an antimicrobial that is extremely effective at reducing LEB bacteria within the ethanol plants. But we don't stop there. We provide a product, but we provide a very, very complementary and a very good quality of service to the plants in monitoring their fermentations, analyzing their data to make sure that their yeasts are performing well. And as well as these plants have done engineering-wise to scale up to the industry, I would put it to the industry that not all of the microbiology of the yeast have been mapped out. So we are experts in yeast fermentation. We are experts in bacteriology. And also with our team with process design, we marry those three fields together to provide services to the plant and advise them on strategies to increase their ethanol efficiency.
I'm glad I have an opportunity to speak with you here at the Corn Utilization and Technology Conference. I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.